All right, what is going on, guys? It is time for another episode of the Chasing Waypoints podcast. Wow, I still have my voice. This is kind of crazy. February 26th, I'm looking at it now. February 26th was the last time I uploaded an episode. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're like almost done with March. But man, has it been a busy few weeks. So, episode 120 of the Chasing Waypoints podcast, and we still have some episodes to catch up on. Peter Angel Belichick. We're going to have a talk with him. Look, Valentine Waypoint Ventures and what they are doing, talking a little bit about that. I know I totally screwed up the name. Everything's skipping. I'm just doing it on the fly here. Man, I'd miss being on the microphone talking to you guys. It's kind of nice to be back. Went remote, didn't really do it. Got my ass beat. Pretty hectic, but enough about that. Let's talk about today's episode, and we're gonna make it really simple. We are talking about The Ride. That is right, Project 501. First time back out on the road ever since I took possession of the bike. Well, I can't really say that. I put like 6 miles in a year on that bike, so absolutely stoked to have that thing up and running and finally out and about. Two solid weekends of riding on it already. As I am recording this, we've done about 500 miles on the bike already, so absolutely excited. As a matter of fact, Travis from Every Single Sunday just hit me up a little bit ago, and we were just talking back and forth, and he asked me about how I like riding the bike. And basically, it's, you know, I definitely enjoy riding the bike. I love riding the bike. Obviously, it's not an adventure bike, but I am really starting to love the process of learning to ride the bike. And I feel already that some of these skills that I've learned in the short time are going to be transferring over to the adventure bike. So do a little bit more work on the skinny bike, and then I'm going to get back on to the adventure bike. Adventure bike is ready to go, though. Pulled it out of the garage today, did a heat cycle on it, let it, you know, warm up until the fans come on, spin around the block. And man, you know, something about a twin with some suspension just sounds badass. So bit of an intimidating bike, I would say, but yeah. Are you guys watching how I'm like slowly turning the party down on the music? So yeah, so anyway, all right, let's get to it. We are talking about The Ride in this episode. And what's so special about it? What was the deal about The Ride? So if you guys heard the Dakar debrief with Skylar Howes, we talked about it. We touched about it. We said, you know, hey, okay, if Louis had this bike 100% ready for you, ready to go, we're going riding. Husky says, anywhere in the world, where are you going? And he wanted to go back and do one of the Dakar stages. And it was because of the rain and the scenery and the riding and the dirt and everything just all combined into one stage, one day of solid riding. And for him, in that instance, replaced or is in competition with him racing out in the Nevada desert with all of the, you know, thunderstorms in the distance at night, you know, just this really bitchin' scenery. So everybody at some point is going to have that one trip, that one ride, that one journey that they take that they remember. And it just kind of like always goes back to. So to rewind back for me, my journey and where I had, this was a long time ago back when we were racing off-road cars. We did the San Felipe race. It was a Record race, if I remember correctly. Record or Code, one of the two. It was a San Felipe race, 3 laps. Or 4 laps around the circuit there. Basically, you hit the washes down there, Guatemote, Chanate, and Matomi. Came around, did a couple laps, but it was on the end of my first stint, or the first half that I was doing. We started to get some rain coming out of the washes, and it rained, and it just kind of like downpoured in San Felipe, which is really crazy. You don't really get that kind of rain. And it was I'm going to say it was one of those like hero dirt moments. You know, you're driving in an open cockpit car, you know, no windshield, you're getting the rain, you know, hitting you. And let me tell you, at, you know, 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, raindrops in a race suit sting a little bit. But that whole experience of the hero dirt and in the rain and just that kind of like mentality change where it's like, okay, it's not necessarily survival mode, but it's like thriving mode. Like I am going to thrive in this environment and I am going to just push that much harder. You just, there's this clarity and this focus that just kind of comes with it. I know it's all like philosophical and stuff, but you know, it really does kind of happen. Your mind does kind of change a little bit and you get into the zone. And it just like it all of a sudden becomes the ideal conditions. And maybe for some people, you know, ideal conditions are a hot, you know, not so dusty day with the right amount of wind and just the perfect thing. But, you know, for some, it's that rain. It's that hero dirt. It's that, you know, that whole ambiance, that whole thing going on, that whole environment in one shot. So this was years ago that it happened. I don't even remember now, but, you know, I remember it was in the 1600 car. My youngest brother was co-riding with me, you know, and we had a lot of stuff. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, just a lot of fast, fun, flowy section. And with the car just hooking up perfect because of the dirt. And it was just amazing. And that was something that, you know, to this day, I still remember and I can go back and just kind of relive it. Because it was always one of those, like, it was that journey. It was that one ride, that one drive that just kind of stuck out. Like, oh my God, this is like everything that I ever wanted just happened, you know, and the course wasn't too beat up where we were at or the section that we were doing. It was okay. You know, we had already done the shitty zoo road part and done all that, you know, and so it was really, really awesome. And I never forget that and I won't forget it. And it won't be something that will be replaced. It's just now. There's an additional part of it. And now it's different, but at the same time thinking about it, it's kind of similar in a way. So the ride, right? It took a while to get there, to get to this point, right? It took, you know, all sorts of hours on the Husky, on Project 501 and getting it to the point where I was like, okay, it's just time to go ride this thing. And I, to a fault, I am a bit OCD on certain things. And as the weekend progressed, when we were out at SoCal Rally, it was a gnarly day that started, you know, the start of the whole Gucci taco thing. And there's just things, just details. And, you know, I have the worst case of shiny object syndrome you could ever imagine. But in the end, I ended up, I think, with a really, really solid package. I spent a lot of time mounting the roadbook setup the way that I wanted it, you know, what I was looking for, which is something very low slung, out of the way, you know, solid mounted. I don't have to worry about it twisting. I don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. You know, it's just there. Now, mind you, my setup and what I am doing is not for racing. It is just literally for riding roadbooks. So is it in the perfect line of sight? Is it in the, it's not, you know, that's what a rally tower is for. It's not, but this for me is like, I just wanted to build a really solid rally light bike. And in a perfect world, what I'm going to be doing in the future is going out and verifying roadbooks, going out before the event happens and making sure that things like the rally comp file that was programmed for the roadbook matches and everything matches up like that. For me, I really would love to do that. I enjoy that because I enjoy the ride. I enjoy putting in those miles and doing that. And some people are born to race. Some people just want to be competitive and want to race. And that necessarily wasn't me, you know, ever. You know, I understood and I understood pushing and I understand driving within and riding within your limits, but never, it was never, you know, being on attack mode or kill mode or anything like that. So everything that I've done has been based around that. And I'm going to have a whole other episode and a whole nother like write up on what I did on this bike, because I basically took a 2016 Husky 501 FE 501, that I purchased from Donnie. She was a moto medic, with Baja Rally. And then also does classes, does a lot of different things, up north, with the School of Moto. And then also coming soon, and we'll talk about that too as well, is the Cold Start. They do like, it's like a coaching and culinary experience that they do here in Ensenada and the parts around. I believe they're starting in Ensenada, going to San Quintin, and that's going to be a really, really cool event. I'm hoping to get somehow sneak away and get the time to go down there and check it out, because It is a lot of fun. It's teamed up with a good friend of mine, Mauricio. It's Justin Carver, West by 1000. They're all organizing this. I know Donnie's going to be there. I believe Dusty Wessels is going to be there as well. But last year, the event was absolutely awesome. You know, they got some really good places to eat. They had some really pitching scenery. So I'm trying to make that one happen. I want to make that one happen because I think that's going to be really, really cool. But anyway, so the idea behind the bike, again, was just to build something solid, right? So the 4CS forks, right? That's been a point of contention for years on these bikes, right? The four-chamber system and how not good they are. Well, I said, okay, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, we'll just go with cone valves or just go drop some lucky cartridges in it or, you know, just do something like that. And budgetary constraints is like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to go that far, but I want to build something just solid, right? I'm not racing the thing. It's just going to be a bike that I just need it plush. And if I need to slow down because it's bottoming out, okay, well, then, you know, slow down. So anyway, it's been a build. But we finally got it on the road. That's the big thing. So finally was able to get it on the road to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go put some miles on this bike. And basically I've crossed the I's, dotted the T's, and then crossed the T's and dotted the I's, you know, back and forth on this thing. And I think it's ready to go. Let's go do it. So with a very last minute emergency on a part that I ordered that was wrong, and I literally put a hole in the oil filter without double checking what I had ordered, and I was almost out of the ride because I did not have an oil filter for the thing. And then luckily Donnie had thrown some oil filters in the box with spares, and I totally lucked out on that one. It was literally like a 30-minute call later, or 30 minutes after calling Gnarly Dave, like, hey, you're not going to guess what happened. 30 minutes later, it was like, I'm done with the bike. It's ready to go. Crisis averted. So we get out there. So we're riding up into the High Desert area. And, you know, if you're in the on the West Coast, you know, we've been getting a lot of rain out here lately. So I was kind of looking forward to it. I had an idea that it might be some hero dirt. But then I also saw the forecast that it was looking like we were going to have a bit of rain. You know, there could be some rain in the area. So, you know, I told him, well, hey, you know, this is the deal. He goes, yeah, you know, we'll be fine. You know, we can negotiate around the rain. You know, it's not even going to be a big deal. You know, we'll just make it happen. So I get up there bright and early, leave San Diego, get up to his place not Inland Empire, but up in the High Desert, get changed, get everything ready to go. All right, bike. All right, cool. Let's go. So we take off, we weave our way through the streets, and then we hit the dirt. And right away, you know, I'm just kind of like feeling the bike out and what it's doing. And I'm like, man, this is, you know, I'm noticing that the bike feels kind of harsh on the hands, right? And I'm like, okay, well, this is your first time riding this bike. So you're not really sure, like, okay, does it need to warm up? Do you need to bleed the fork? Like, all of these things, right, that you kind of like, okay, well, let me check these things, right? And so I'm just like, I'm just going to ride the bike. So we get moving. We're starting to do our thing. And I don't have, I mean, Gnarly Dave is an accomplished rider and racer. And now, you know, is getting into rally, puts in tons of miles. He's riding at least 200 miles a week. I mean, he's really, really ramping it up because my understanding is he's headed to Baja Rally to compete in that. And so, you know, he's obviously on it, and my pace is nowhere near his. And so there was a little bit, it was a little bit difficult, and I felt bad because I knew I was holding him back because I knew he could ride a lot faster or he could ride a lot further, you know, without stopping. And so thankfully we stopped, he would check in with me, you know, and we were just riding, and I got to see some stuff out there that was absolutely amazing. And, you know, every little bit, you know, a little bit of single track, a little bit of whoops, a little bit of off piste, a little bit of everything. And it was really, really nice. And so we head out the first part, I think it was like Crystal Lakes or something like that out in that area, head out there, you know, still having fun on the bike and doing all that stuff, you know, hands, you know, everything's just a little bit tight. You know, I'm trying to get used to the bike, and, you know, I'm used to the adventure bike, and, you know, that thing just kind of, it's weird. It's like on the adventure bike, I'm just like, well, this is the way the bike's going to go. So but for some reason on the skinny bike, I felt like I was trying to dominate the bike more, like, no, go this way. rather than just let the pike flow and do its thing and me kind of correct it where I need to put it or put it where I need to put it. So it was kind of a weird, you know, weird experience. And, you know, the pegs, you know, I ended up ultimately going with a wider set of pegs. It did have the stock pegs on there. So I ended up going with some IMS core pegs before SoCal Rally. I was able to get a piece that is it's a bottle cap opener that you can weld on to the core IMS core pegs. That's handy for when you need to like open like a soda bottle or something like that. You know, it's very, very handy. You weld it onto the back. So it works really, really well. So it's a really good combination of pegs. You know, you got a nice wide platform with some sharp teeth, and then you got this like bottle opener welded onto the back of it, which is really, really awesome. So, anyway, so we go through, you know, all of these different, you know, areas. And we start getting into the back, and we get into, I believe it's called Kramer Junction or Four Corners. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you could see the rain off in the distance. And by then we'd had a couple of like, you know, quick, you know, douses of water. It's like, oh, is it raining right now? Is it really? But it wasn't enough to like, it wasn't hitting the goggles. It wasn't doing any of that kind of stuff. So I was like, all right. So this is where the story really begins. And this is actually getting to, once we get into Kramer Junction, we stop, we have lunch, and then, you know, then we head out, top off gas, and then we head out. We get out into one of the areas. We're headed out towards kind of like the Husky Monument area. And I'm just now being familiar with this area. I've never ridden out there. I'd always want to see Husky Monument. I wanted to go do that stuff. It was actually at a point that for the Revzilla event, I was actually going to ride out to Husky Monument on my own. I'm glad I didn't, because I didn't realize exactly how far I was from it, to get there. So anyway, we head out, we're doing this section, we're winding our way through the back, you know, working on, keeping my pace and trying to keep up with Dave and or Gnarly Dave, and we're working, and it's getting there. I kind of feel it like coming, but it's not, you know, I'm just still too tight on the bike, you know, and it's still just a getting used to thing. By this time, my hands were really starting to bug me, and it was just the suspension, the front was just beating me up really bad. And I go, okay, well, this is par for the course on these forks. Don't overthink it. It is what it is. Just ride the bike. And so we get into some of the back sections, and right as we're getting into Husky, we drop into this kind of like canyon on the back way, you know, over to one side, not the easy way. It definitely wasn't the easy way. We went to the crash site that's out there. And then from there we shot over to Husky Monument. When we get to Husky Monument, if you guys are following me on Instagram, you'll see I posted a video of where I walked around the monument. And it was really cool. And it was just kind of like, you know, it was just starting to rain consistently, just getting that sprinkle in, and it just, you know, the quiet, the wind, the smell of, you know, wet desert. And it was just really a really awesome, it like kind of started this whole thing. And I was just, you know, I was kind of taken back a little bit. You know, there's so much stuff to see there. There's so many memorials for people there, and everything, you know, is each memorial is something different for every person, you know, that was there, that's passed, that, you know, it's something that a loved one brought there. And you see everything. You see helmets, you see forks, you see frames, you see handlebars, you see all of these different things. You know, Tim Gomez, that is, he's got his memorial out there. And so it was really, really cool to see that stuff. I mean, it really was. And, you know, you just kind of understand the magical aura about the place. So we get going, you know, we're about to get going, and I look over and I'm going, look at my chain. And I think it was Gnarly Dave that spotted it. He was all like, dude, what is up with your chain? And we're all like, oh, well, it's a brand new chain. He's all, no, they stretch really, really bad. And I'm like, yeah. So he's all right, fix it before it's an issue. So, you know, break out the tools. He helps me really quick. We're getting the thing adjusted. We got it. And sure enough, I mean, I really, even after that ride, after we adjusted it there, I came back and just made sure that it was perfectly aligned, which it was. And haven't had to touch it since. So that was pretty awesome. But anyway, adjust the chain. All right, we get going. We start going up some of these washes, some of this area, and it's the same thing. Like, we're headed over. We go over to this area. There was a choice, and that was either take the easy way out, take the easy road, which we were still a ways away from civilization, or basically is just take the road or the route that we were going to continue that was going to take us over to the petroglyphs. There's a petroglyph site out in the desert in that area. So at this point, we're in rain now, and it's starting to rain, and we're just kind of like going. And it wasn't until we got, I want to say it was probably after, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was after the petroglyphs. By the time we got to the petroglyphs, we had already gone through a couple of washes. It wasn't too bad, but by the time we got to the petroglyphs, it was raining. I was soaked. Gloves were soaked. The gear, I was still in the water resistant phase. It wasn't in the soaked phase. So we were good there. You know, we stopped really quick. We checked out the petroglyphs, and then, you know, jumped on it, got back on it. And there was like kind of a rocky section leading out of there. And the same thing, I'm just like, man, my hands are killing me going through this. I mean, it's just like really, really harsh. Okay, well, you know, again, it is what it is. You're just going to have to deal with it. You're in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing else you can really do. So we head out, we continue to go. And this is when we start to drop into some of these like washes that are like a really kind of narrow wash with very high vertical walls and just kind of this gravelly type sand. And it's really where the bike, I felt like, okay, well, it wasn't too bad, but the bike really started to hook up, and I really started getting into the flow of, like, you know, pushing on pegs and getting the bike to turn and doing that stuff. Albeit still a bit slow in the sand corners, the bike was still a bit uneasy. It was wanting to knife edge, you know, pretty consistently. Knife edge, for those playing the home game, is basically where the front tire wants to go left way faster than you want it to. And it just will like basically tuck the front tire in. And next thing you know, you're going down. So if you're kind of waiting for it and your body position is semi okay, you can kind of get out of it, but it's annoying for sure, especially once it's doing it pretty consistently. So we get out, you know, we're going through these washes, and then the first, you know, taco down incident. And I'm not very confident in making sharp turns in the sand, especially on this bike that I was just kind of getting used to. And so we get to a Y in the road, and Gnarly Dave had kind of gone to the inside and was just waiting there. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just kind of round this corner. Well, I round out the corner and kind of go over the next fork. And as I make this turn, here's these like huge boulders, and I'm going, oh, great. Now we're doing hard enduro in this desert wash in the middle of nowhere. And so I'm like, all right, well, I hit the first one and the bike just kind of bounces. And this is where I really realized that my hand strength was gone. And I just basically like almost kind of like whiskey throttled it. And I tried to grab the bike and I just could not get it back under me. And, you know, I just kind of bounced off the front end. And next thing you know, it's a taco down incident, the first of the trip. And so it wasn't actually, I think that was the only one on that one. But anyway, so stop, take a break, you know, the video's on Instagram. And we continue to go, you know, down this wash, and we get to the end, and then now it's barbed wire, and now it's been fenced off because there's, you know, some kind of grow over there or something going on, and this trail's just blocked off, you know. And now it's like, okay, well, we go back up to the map, you know, Gnarly Dave, being from the area, is trying to figure out, you know, where we're headed next and how we're going to make it happen. And we do, we find a way around, and as we're going through it, and it's the same thing. It was just getting rained on, and it was at a certain point in that wash, in the next wash when we were on our way out, where it just kind of opened up into the desert floor, and I kind of just realized that this was one of those rides. And it just kind of, everything went from, it wasn't necessarily survival mode up until that point. It was more just thriving. You know, it's like, okay, this is what I've always wanted to ride in, right? The dirt's just right. Everything's just right. The temperature's right, even though it's a bit cool because of the water and the speed and that kind of thing. But this is awesome. You know, this is really just that kind of area and situation that I want to be in. And so, I mean, we continue on. And it was funny because there was at a point where we stopped for a break, and I couldn't see. It got to the point where the goggles were getting rained on and they were fogging up and I couldn't really see. So I decided that, okay, well, it's time to take them off. So I took them off, and at the next stop, he's like, you ride faster in the rain without goggles than you do with goggles in the dry. And I just kind of like, I'm like, yeah, but I'm loving this. This is like, I'm in the zone right now and I'm really digging this. Yeah. My hands had basically given up, but it was just, the bike was, I was just used to it at that point, and I kind of knew what it would do and what it wouldn't do. And so we made it happen. So we get through it. We go all the way back. We head into the Kramer Junction area. We get into this last wash and we're, you know, it's really, really loose. And I'm like, okay, well, we're almost there. We're almost to the end. We just take this wash out. And I was really surprised because I felt like it had been raining for a while, and for it to still be really loose and not necessarily packed was kind of weird. So we get down to the end of the wash and we're back at Kramer Junction. So we just did this whole loop in the rain. We're soaked, you know, and it just kind of turned into like, okay, well, we're headed back, you know, we're already, you know, we're in a familiar place. We're headed back in the right direction. You know, what's next? And so we, you know, we made the decision. And at this point, you know, we're at about 150 miles ish in, on this ride. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to take we made the decision to take the pavement back, right? I was thinking like, oh, we could ride the dirt next to the highway. It'll still be pretty quick. But, you know, Gnarly Dave said the same thing. So like, it is fast, but it's not as fast as just being on, you know, on the hardball, you know, doing 70. So that was what we opted for, and we ended up doing that. But by then, you know, we're getting full rain, and I go in, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to see if they've got like a rain jacket or something, right? You know, just something plastic I can put over my gear. So I'm the water resistant part. And for those playing the home game, there's a difference. Water resistant and waterproof are two different things. Water resistant means you can go through a splash and it probably won't penetrate the fabric. That's water resistant. Waterproof means you could go take a bath in it and it's not going to soak through, which is very important because once the liquid, whatever it is, the rain gets through that layer and gets into the under layer, now any kind of wind or anything like that, it's like, that's the reason we sweat, right? We sweat because then with air, it cools and it helps regulate the body temperature. Well, if you're soaking wet, it's the same effect. You're soaking wet, you're going at speed, and it's going to give this really like exaggerated cooling effect, and it can make you very, very cold. So at this point, I'm at that point, right? If that makes any sense. So we get on the highway, we're doing that, and you know, we're doing 70 down the highway on dirt bikes, you know, trying to get in the rain, working our way back to Gnarly Dave's place. And so, you know, we muscle through it. Yeah, I was really actually surprised. It was interesting. I actually, at one point when we were leaving Kramer Junction and it was kind of raining, I got on the highway and I just kind of like squatted up in the pegs and then I just kind of gunned the bike, you know, just, I wanted to see if there was where the brake and traction was. And it was kind of crazy. I really didn't notice it. It just kind of still hooked up and I don't know if it's still going slow or whatever, but you know, that was not scientific at all. But I was like, okay, well, you know, it's not as bad as I thought. I'm thinking like, oh, this thing's going to break traction super easily, but it really wasn't that. So was able to, you know, we're getting through it. And then, you know, we finally get to the point where we need to turn off and I'm thinking like, okay, well, we're going to take the highway all the way back, you know, right in. And we ended up going through, kind of back the same way we went. But by this time, since it had been raining, it was now mud. And it was definitely a challenge. And it was right about when we turned onto the first dirt road and I saw the first few feet were kind of muddy and I felt the bike kind of wiggle in a way. I'm like, okay, this is not fun. It was when I finally switched into survival mode and I was like, okay, now we're headed, you know, we need to make this happen. So we ride through this muddy areas and just kind of going through it. And it was like, you know, we're taking the dirt back, you know? And so we did it. We worked our way through. There was one point in time again, where I kind of like put my goggles back on the highway because it was just really bad. And I couldn't, you know, rain hurts when it hits you in the face at that speed. So I put the goggles back on. I was kind of able to muster through it. So we're headed back and we're going through these areas and some of these areas are kind of flooded. Well, we get to a point where we have to cross the street. Well, I don't remember the roads there, and this dip was kind of big, but it was flooded, so I really didn't know how deep it was. So I just rode through it like, you know, it wasn't that deep. And I mean, the thing, like, I had water, like, it was just this huge splash. It must have been about 3/4 of the way up the front tire. I mean, it was deep. I just absolutely splashed through this thing. It was, you know, the water wall that came up, the light shined on it. And so it was just kind of like solid, couldn't see anything. And so that was it was pretty good. And by then, you know, the sun's already starting to drop. I'm like, okay, obviously this isn't smart. I really can't see 100%. So let me take the goggles off. Take the goggles off. We're, you know, still, you know, kind of negotiating the city blocks there to get to back to where we're going, cutting through this one field. And then we get on the road and we're going through the road back to like our next turn that we got to make. And this car that was coming on, you know, headed my way, right, was going to pass me. I'm riding on the right side of the lane, you know, away from the center of the lane, right? And this guy like literally comes over and purposely hits the puddle in the middle to get me wet. And I'm just like, part of me wanted to turn around. And then I'm like, well, this is going to be one of those chapters where reasons why I ended up in jail. And it just like, I mean, it was a total dick by doing that. So I was kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, it doesn't matter. We're close, you know, we're close to home. So we're just going to figure it out and get home. So same thing. We turned down another road and there's some more mud and, you know, turned down another one and there's some more mud. Well, we finally get in. We're like 2 blocks away and I hit something like a pothole or something that I didn't catch. And it just started, it was like that one point where my body just said, okay, that's it, temperature wise. And I just started shaking, you know, shivering from the cold. And it was crazy because it was one of those things like I couldn't stop. So I'm like, all right, well, we're close, you know, and thankfully we were. I mean, it was still like another 2 blocks and we ended up, and we were right in the neighborhood again. And I recognized that part because we had ridden out that way, right? And so it just really turned into survival mode. We got back to his place. You know, he's still got the bike on. I'm standing behind it, you know, trying to dry my hands and warm up with the exhaust. And so it was definitely a journey. So, I mean, it ended up being 185 miles, you know, on the bike. And it was one of those rides that, you know, not going to forget because of all of the stuff that we went through and all of the different terrains, the things we got to see, you know, everything out there. It was just absolutely awesome. And yeah, it was cold and yeah, it was survival mode at one point. But it is what it is. I mean, that's just part of the journey and what you need to be doing. So, or I mean, you should be doing it, right? You should be going out and finding that one ride. But for me, it was a great outing. You know, yeah, the bike was a little bit hard to handle, since been worked on, which I'll go into in the next episode when we do the SoCal Rally recap. But it really did change the way I saw the adventure bike. You know, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm on a skinny bike and, you know, I'm getting used to how this maneuvers and how this handles. And I'm like, okay, well, there are, you know, there's things I'm doing with this thing that I can transfer to the other one. So, you know, we'll see. I'm looking forward to riding the adventure bike again and getting on that and seeing how that rolls. You know, I mean, I think that is a really good combination. I don't think I'm going to give up the adventure bike, but I definitely want to spend some more time on the skinny bike, trying to get some more, you know, more seat time, work on the skills, you know, and then transfer that back and go back to the adventure bike with that. I think that's going to be the combination. So, but yeah, that was the journey. That was the ride. That was 185 miles. And like I said, I mean, all the terrains, you know, seeing the petroglyphs, seeing Husky Monument, seeing the crash site, all of that stuff. Was really, really awesome to see that. And, you know, I'm grateful that Gnarly Dave took me out on that ride. You know, kind of bummed that he didn't get his full 200 miles in. You know, but I appreciate him, you know, basically taking me under his wing and kind of coaching me and you know, kind of letting me know what I needed to do or maybe things that I needed to work on. And that's what it is. I mean, you're always, I think on a bike, you're always going to be learning and you're always going to be working on perfecting, you know, some part of it, right? If you don't feel as confident braking, if you don't feel as confident cornering, up and down hills, all of these things, you know, all of these things are things that you just kind of end up working on little by little until you feel like you're at a comfortable pace and you just do what you do. And in my case, you know, I'm not planning on racing. So for me, I think it's important to just have a solid skill set and just be able to go out, ride long distances and have fun. So anyway, so that was the story. That was the ride. I'm glad to be back with you guys. I know it's been a little bit of a break, but we've been getting ready for a bunch of stuff. And then, man, we've got another huge one coming up. We've got Sonora Rally at the end of April, round number 3 of the World Rally Raid Championship. So gonna be looking forward to that. Definitely a big production. A lot of people coming from afar to see this. So I'm absolutely excited to be on the team. You know, I will be working with the rally comp side of things. Going to be doing some tracking and helping the organization. So I'm absolutely stoked and excited for that. It is at the end of April. If you guys haven't already seen, definitely check it out. Get some more information for yourselves. And I believe there may be a way, even if you guys want to spectate, at least go check out some of the stuff in either San Luis Rio Colorado or Hermosillo. There's definitely some stuff there. So check out the website, sonorarally.com. You'll be able to get a little bit more info on the event and what's been happening or what is going to be happening. So anyway, all right, guys, with that being said, remember, it'll make sense when you get there. Enjoy the ride. All right, that is a wrap for the Chasing Waypoints podcast this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you like what you heard. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a bunch of others. Also, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook under Chasing Waypoints, Instagram, Chasing Waypoints _ official, and of course, the YouTube under Chasing Waypoints. Hope everybody has a good week. We will see you guys for the next episode. Remember, shiny side up, and don't forget to tag us. We want to see where you guys are riding and what you guys are up to. Have a great week.